Opening this weekend and running for the entire month at Stage Left Theater is the play Equus. First, a quick explanation of Stage Left Theater. Its address is 108 West 3rd Avenue, so therefore it's a couple blocks west of Division on 3rd Avenue on the north side of the street. Lovely little house there, about 60 or so seats, where they do all kinds of interesting experimental and sometimes, or especially in this case, intense theater that we're about to talk about in terms of this play, which is Equus. And the person directing, well-known director in town, Troy Nickerson. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning.
And let's figure out what you know about Equus, or what your history of knowing about this play has been.
I saw it about 25 years ago and was and just immediately attracted to it. I just loved the storytelling of it and the intensity of it. And then I've always wanted to do it ever since I started directing. It's always been kind of in the back of my mind that I really wanted to do this piece. But finding a house that would let me do it and have it a part of the season, especially with the fragile economy and people being a little safer in their seasons. Stage Left approached me and just said, would you be interested in doing a show for us? And I said, well, I'd be interested in Equus, and expecting that that probably wouldn't happen. And they came back and said, let's do it. And so I was immediately on board and very excited about it.
Let's just immediately dispense with the fear of Equus. It's male nudity, right?
Right. There's brief nudity. There's female nudity as well. It's interesting because actually the nudity appears to be in one of the most happiest, loveliest moments in the play. Yes, it does become dark after that. But the only thing people know about Equus is that there's a guy naked and there's a horse.
Yeah.
There's actually a very incredible story in between those two things that you shouldn't be afraid of.
Yeah. Well, let's maybe jump right into the story and right into the people that will be telling that story. Let's bring in Tom Hepler. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Certainly an actor that we encounter in many, many things. Last time you visited with me, you were about to do something intense and interesting. Do you remember what it was?
Christmas Carol?
I mean specifically because you got to have so much fun with Scrooge,
right,
in Christmas Carol. I call that intense.
Yes, it was. It was a very intense character. And this one in Equus, Dr. Dysart, is probably just as an intense character. I mean, he's a man who's questioning his work as a psychiatrist. And what is he doing when he treats these children? And that he actually says he cuts part of their individualities out. And he encounters this boy that's blinded these six horses who is different than any other patient he's ever met, and it causes all these doubts and worries, and is he doing the right thing? Because society wants you to be normal, and what is normal? I mean, yes, that's a terrible thing to do, but what brought it on, and how do you correct those things without destroying an individual?
Well, I think one of the real famous fundamental discussions about mental health and psychology, and you know, the things that if Beethoven had been mentally healthy, we wouldn't have had his music.
Exactly.
And things like that. And I presume that's kind of what your character is getting into.
It's that struggle of where does the boundary of normality cross, and is it good, is it bad? The character also has this affinity for everything in ancient Greece and where they did sacrifices with, you know, of children or people to please the gods. And that type of person back then was revered because they were unusual. They had a way of seeing. You know, they always talk about their soothsayers. Yet we in a modern society can't see that person's value. So...
And so this whole intensity level, so kind of giving it away in a sense, but is the point of the play, is this a primary point of the play? I'll ask both of you, Troy and Tom, this basic question of what is normality?
I think so. I think what is normal? What is normal? It's such a hard thing to even explain. in the way that Dysart is challenged, and it makes him reflect on his own life. You know, he's in a marriage that is dull and hasn't worked. He hasn't kissed his wife for 6 years. His job is unfulfilling. He's constantly dreaming of other things. And then there's this kid that comes into his office that's, you know, damaged, but who's riding on the backs of his gods every day. So what is normal? And he's treating him for insanity, yet this kid is fulfilling worship, and you know, in his life. So it is, you know, it comes back to what is normal and how far that can go, you know.
Talk about that line, riding on the backs of his gods every day. That intrigues me. What did you mean by that?
Well, he says that because Alan sneaks out and rides on the backs of these horses at night.
Mm.
And Nathan can certainly tell you more about that. And he sneaks out, and that's his form of worship. He strips down and he rides these horses through the fields, and that's his worship.
Well, let's move to Nathan to discuss that. Nathan Nelson, a freshman at Gonzaga, you say?
Yeah.
And a theater major there?
Yeah, theater, and getting teacher certification there.
Okay.
Also.
Okay. And so here you are in a outside the college in a community,
yeah,
doing a play and taking the time and intensity to do that. Was it specifically to do this character, to be an Equus?
Yes.
that made you push that hard?
I saw online, I was looking around town for auditions, and I saw Equus, and as soon as I said that, I said, if there's open auditions, I'm going. There's nothing that's going to stop me from auditioning for that play. Mm-hmm. I was freaking out and stressing about it for the weeks coming up to it and all the way throughout it, and I knew immediately this was a play I wanted to be a part of, whether I was a background character, whether I was Alan, even though I really wanted to play Alan.
Cool. Move a little closer to the mic.
Yeah, sure.
And let's now get into this subject of who is Alan, and what do you? How do you respond to so far what we've said? What's been said about Alan?
Yeah, Alan is really complex to me because he has so many varying emotions, from shame to just this passion that he has for horses, which he treats as his god. He has this warped view of his religion and his sexuality are combined into this worship of these gods, which are his horses, that he sneaks out once every 3 weeks and worships and praises this ritual that really is, in a lot of ways, it's hard to relate to, but once you do, you realize it's something almost beautiful about how much he feels and just how much he feels and the immensity of it.
And the thing throughout, too, that we're actually really trying to make sure happens is that also Alan is a 17-year-old boy, and he is naive, and he's actually innocent, and he's spoiled, and he's, you know, so in combination with these adult themes and this intensity that he has, he's also a 17-year-old boy.
Yeah, there's sweetness to him, too.
Very much so.
Yeah, the love for his mother and just this innocence and curiosity that I think drives a lot of the play.
Right.
Is Alan's
and it just gets
curiosity.
Lost and it and becomes very intense very quickly and loses control.
Mm-hmm. So backing up, if you're joining us, this is about Equus, the play that opens this Friday at Stage Left, which is 108 West 3rd, and Tom Hepler, who plays the psychologist, Martin Dysart, and Nathan Nelson, who was just speaking, playing his patient, Alan Strange. So why don't we go into the doctor's office and encounter a little bit of this.
Hello, how are you this morning? Come on, sit down. I'm sorry if I gave you a start last night. I was collecting some papers from my office, and I thought I'd look in on you. Do you dream often?
Do you?
It's my job to ask the questions, yours to answer them.
Who says who?
Says me. Do you dream often?
Do you?
Look, Alan...
Look, I'll answer if you answer. In turns.
Very well, but we have to speak the truth.
Very well.
So... Do you dream often?
Yes. Do you?
Yes. Do you have a special dream?
No. Do you?
Yes. What was your dream about last night?
I can't remember. What's yours about?
I said the truth.
It is the truth. Now tell me, what's yours about? The special one.
Carving up children. My turn.
What?
What is your first recollection of a horse?
What do you mean?
The first time one came into your life in any way.
Can't remember.
You have no memory of the first time a horse came into your life?
No. No, I told you, I can't remember. Now tell me, now it's my turn. Are you married?
I am.
Is she a doctor
my
too?
My turn.
What?
What is Eck? You shouted it out in your
pleasure,
sleep
double
last
your
night.
Fun. We're double good, double good, double mink.
Oh, come on now.
Double your pleasure,
you
double your fun. We're double
that.
Good, double good, double mink.
All right, good morning.
What do you mean?
I mean we're finished for today.
I've only had 10 minutes.
Too bad. Didn't you hear me? I said good morning.
That's not fair.
No?
No! No, the government pays you 20 quid an hour to see me. I know, I heard downstairs.
Well, go back there and hear some more.
That's not fair! No, you're a bloody swiz! You're a swiz! You swiz! He's a swiz!
Do I have to call now?
Oh, she puts a finger on me, I'll bash her!
She'll bash you much harder, I assure you. Now go away.
So there was a scene from Equus. I guess where in the play is this early on? Is this
kind
of
is their first session?
Oh, the first session.
The first session first that they have, where they sit down and talk, and Dysart's trying to get through all of these defenses. And when he was arrested for this crime, all he does is sing commercials.
Oh, I see. So the hands are going into the
devil's neck. So this is a retreat back when he tried to tap into it, so that's his defense mechanism. Yeah.
Because this is the first time I've really opened to him and actually had a conversation. Otherwise, I've just sang and just ignored him and made
yeah,
these games.
He just sings.
And so this is the first time I really have a dialogue with him, and as soon as he gets to something that I don't like, back into the defense.
Okay. And as his scene progresses, he does start telling the doctor about his first experience with a horse on the beach.
Yeah.
And the wonderful thing about this show is that as the characters are talking and reliving these moments, other characters all of a sudden come into the scene and start performing it. Like his mother and father will come in. And so even though I'm watching him, he's performing his memory. And that happens quite frequently.
Yeah.
Which beautifully answers the question I was about to ask. Thank you. Because there's a lot of characters in this show,
yes.
And I was at first imagining it was just going to be one of these famous psychological dramas of the shrink and his patient. But we do have these other characters. Kind of talk about how it all comes together.
One of the reasons I love this show is because of the style of the storytelling. There's no rules to it. And for me as a director, you can create anything you want because there's no reality. Everything comes out of Alan's brain. So he talks about the moment, his first moment with the horses on the beach. And these are men with metal horse heads that represent the horses. And the whole scene comes to life. His parents come through. So we see all of these aspects of his life, see moments and clues to what got Alan to where he is now. And it's just so beautifully done. It seamlessly ran together and all of these flashbacks into his life.
Mm-hmm. In 1973, I was kind of aware of myself as maybe being part of the avant-garde, and that's when this play came out. Mm-hmm. And so I can sense a little bit of the wonderful kind of danger that a 1973 play would have. And if that's valid enough, how does it hold up 40 years later?
You know, I think there's still the danger. One of the things that I believe, too, as a director, I want to do things I'm afraid of, and this certainly was something I was afraid of. So it still has a danger, but I don't know how to explain it. You can still make it. There's more. You can make more of an honesty about it, maybe now that makes it feel a little more contemporary.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
It almost in a way makes the audience want to, I think, hold their breath a little bit and be, whoa, what did I just experience? Was that?
I think in the 70s too, there was such an effort to go for that, right? To go for the shock or go for that. Where I think this kind of tones back now, and it settles in into just simple storytelling.
But Peter Schaefer also writes so beautifully. I mean, the poetic nature of his language and the way he interweaves dialogue. Characters will say something, and later on it incorporates into my dialogue, and it just flows so beautifully. It's really, really beautiful language.
It's the same playwright who wrote Amadeus, which is famous for its just beautiful language. It's heightened, but yet relatable.
Right. That's why I think you have to treat it simply sometimes, because any extra drama that you add to it can topple it. You know, so you have to stay on the safe side of it, the honest side of it.
The other thing that's unique about it is everybody that is performing in the play is on stage. They sit around the performance area and watch. So when they're ready to perform, they just stand up and they come into the office or
come into the playing circle. Yeah.
Go wherever they're playing. So they're all observing him. So
which, you know, adds to the Alan feeling that he's seen from all sides. Is that really he is? By everyone in his life is there watching him this entire time, almost putting him on trial. So the audience is watching him while he's being watched by.
And
everyone.
In the '70s, that was very, yes, you know, very edgy, very, yeah.
And you know, even though you've clearly described that and made the point about it, it would have that wonderful unintended positive consequence of keeping everybody in the play involved.
Right,
yes.
Because all of us that know backstage know you go backstage and you're suddenly just passing your time and looking at your watch and saying, okay, in 10 minutes when I get a cue line, I have to go back on and not part of it. I think that would be really a fairly delicious opportunity.
Absolutely.
For all the actors.
I've never even actually thought of that, but that's really, that will be a note to the actors this evening. You know, I mean, really, to stay active in it. It's a wonderful opportunity for them, you know, to be able to do that.
Yeah. As far as we know, this would be the first time Equus has been done in Spokane.
Civic Theater did it.
Oh, they did?
Civic Theater did it. When I first saw it, it's been many, 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 many years ago. They didn't do the nudity then. But they did do it years ago in the studio theater.
Well, Tammy Rochford, who's in this show playing Alan's mother, she said 26 years ago she played Jill in the Civic production.
Oh,
so
good.
She's gotten to
Isn't
do
that
both
interesting?
Parts
now.
Now
she plays my mother in it, even though, you know, 20 years ago she was playing my character's girlfriend.
And I remember seeing that show. I believe Mark Pleasant, who's a well-known actor in town, played Alan when he was like 16. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, I knew there was something special about that show, and that I wanted to do it someday, and so here it is. Buy tickets.
and you, Tom Hepler, and doesn't shrink away from interesting challenges. So, because your role has had, you follow into a lot of great footsteps in your role.
Don't you? Well, you know, there's a lot of shows that come into town that, and people ask me to do stuff or auditions for things, and it has to be a show that fascinates me. It has to be a director that I trust, because when you're pouring out your guts on stage, and it's anything from a comedy to a musical to a drama like this, you have to feel comfortable to be able to do that. And, you know, people always talk about their bucket list shows. This is one of those for me, because it's been one that I've seen before, and it just fascinates me, and the character fascinates me. And every time I read the script, even now, I find little nuances that, and I'm like, oh, why didn't I see that the first time? You know, so it's great writing, and when you get something that's this well written, it just makes your day.
It's interesting you say the trusting part. I honestly don't think I could have done Alan if I didn't trust both Tom and Troy in this, because, you know, right away I got to know them. Me and Tom met a bunch at, you know, we'd come and run lines and talk about the play, and just having that trust with a play like this, you have to have it, because there's obvious vulnerabilities that you go through as an actor, and I'm sure as a director going through the story with us. That was probably one of the more valuable parts of
I probably
show.
Had the biggest culture shock, though, going from nonsense to Equus.
but, you know, it really strikes me, because this is 4 weekends. It opens this weekend, Friday and Saturday, not on Easter Sunday. Then it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the entire rest of the month through April 26th, the usual times, 7:30 on Friday and Saturday, and 2 o'clock on Sunday. There is a prohibition of anybody under 18, unfortunately, but that is a requirement of the play, that you have to be over 18 to attend Equus at Stage Left, which is 108 West 3rd. But what strikes me about 4 weekends is that what a fascinating thing. I mean, whatever you've experienced so far is probably just the tip of the iceberg compared to who you're going to be a month from now.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, whenever you do a show, you know, I like to see, if I see a show that I like, I'll see it opening and then I'll see it like the closing weekend, because the journey that you go on, that audience element that comes in is what's missing right now, because you get their feedback, you get their energy, and that just helps propel you even more so.
And right now in the process, we're just in a complete place of discovery. I mean, even, you know, though we open Friday, you know, each night is just bringing new wonderful things, you know, that we haven't discovered before. So It's wonderful that way. I like it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And one can easily Google Stage Left or Equus Stage Left or any of the easy ways to get around to find out all the details, including how to get tickets and all that for that fairly small theater. So one would be wise to jump on that and get them. That's Equus opening this Friday, running through April 26th. My thanks to Troy Nickerson, as always, Troy, and Tom Hepler. Certainly glad to have you return. And what a treat to meet you, Nathan Nelson. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And so that's Equus coming right up.